very much. It's a blessing to be here. I appreciate the song the brother sang. It took me back down memory lane. My dad had a preacher come many, many years ago. I had never heard of him. Nobody, I don't think, in Lansing, Michigan had ever heard of him either. His name was Curtis McCarley. And Brother McCarley came to my father's church, and Monday night he preached on the first chapter of Ruth. And Tuesday night, he preached on the second chapter of Ruth. And the Wednesday night, he preached on the third chapter of Ruth. And on the fourth night, he preached on the fourth chapter of Ruth. And he preached all the way through it, and he left off a little bit at the end. And so everybody came back to church Friday night, figured he was going to preach something else. But he preached the last verse. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And our Savior was called the Son of David. And better than that, he's the Son of God. That may not have done much for you, that song, but it took me about 50 years ago to be back. That's a great blessing. I never heard that before. I appreciate being here. I'm glad we're here. I'm glad we don't have a clock anywhere in the building. Isn't that good? Is there one right here in front of me? I can put my handkerchief over it right there. I don't even see it. I want you to look at two books in your Bible. I want you to look at Romans chapter 9, and I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to read just a couple, three verses in each one of those portions of Scripture. And then I want to talk to you about what I feel like the Lord would have me to discuss for your hearing. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to shew his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Then I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19, 20, and 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I want to talk to you tonight on this topic, some various vessels from the potter's house. Various vessels from the potter's house. I'm a little bit note-bound tonight. I hope you'll forgive me for that. But the potter's house had a shop where he made, obviously, pottery. There was a wheel there. There was a treadle that he could run with his foot. There was moldable clay that he would put on a place. You know, if you went to a home somehow in Bible times, it was not a great house, just a plain house, there would be vessels of clay. A great home might have vessels of gold and of silver. In a plain house, there would be a bench that had three holes, one on the left, one on the right, and a smaller one in the middle. Those vessels on the left and on the right would hold somewhere between 4 and 5 gallons of water.
The one on the left was for drinking water. The one in the middle was a vessel that took some of the excess. The one on the right. If a couple would set up housekeeping, maybe not like your kitchen. We have all kinds of things in our house that are a whole lot different than what they had back in those days. You didn't go to a store. You perhaps made the bench yourself or shelf yourself, and perhaps someone did it. Maybe you had a carpenter come. But those potter's house, you would have to go there to get those vessels of honor. You'd have to go to that place where you could get that vessel that you would take to the well to get water. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 21, the Bible says the vessels of honor are sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared for every good work. Cold, clean, pure water would be put in that vessel. Its mission was to dispense water to the thirsty. In an earthen vessel, thus a vessel of honor gives. A vessel of honor does not store up. It gives to others. It fulfills the potter's expectations of helping others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it said, His light has shined into your life, and the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus. Verse 7 says, We are treasures in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of His power should be made known. It's not our excellency, it's His excellency. The second jar, like the first, same shape, same size. It was of utilitarian beauty, a little different in nature, made with the same care by the potter, tempered in the same kiln. This vessel never leaves the home. This vessel never finds God's will for its life. Abraham had a servant. He sent him to find a bride for Isaac. Now, I love the little phrase there in Genesis 24 and 27. I've talked to, couldn't tell you how many scores of young preachers and preachers my own age looking for the will of God. I've always used this verse of Scripture. I, being in the way the Lord led me. If you want to find out the will of God in your life, get in His way and He'll lead you to where He wants you to go. You won't miss it at all. It receives. This vessel receives stale, used water from the vessel of honor. The leftover from the drinking cup, the wash basin is poured into there. It always receives, but it never gives. I don't want to be a vessel that always receives and never gives. In Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse number 28, it talks about a man by the name of Coniah. He had a couple other names, Jeconiah, and on through there. But it talks about him as being a vessel of no honor. Judah's deportation into Babylon was a trilogy of tragedy. The first one, Daniel, and many others went when he went. The second deportation, 8 years later, Jeconiah, who reigned for just 100 days. 10,000 of upper-class people, including Ezekiel, were carried away to Babylon. The third, in 587 B.C., Zedekiah. This is one of the most tragic things I think that happened in all of the Bible. He had several sons. He watched his sons all killed. And then his eyes were plucked out of his head. And then blind and fettered in fetters of brass off to Babylon. that carried him. He was called a vessel wherein is no pleasure. That would be a terrible thing. That would be a dishonorable thing for a child of God to become a vessel that reeked, that smelled, that was slimy, that was a good for nothing vessel. In Isaiah 65, verses 1 through 4, they were thrown in the trash because of what they'd been used for. And I won't even, it was an abomination. They had, one of the abominations, they were eating pork. Thank God for bacon, but that's about it in my opinion. I could stand here tonight, I would not do it. And I could tell you of preachers far greater than I ever thought of being, far greater than many preachers that I ever heard preach in my life. Gone. Some cheap thing that didn't even matter. Some flirtation. Some just a touch. Some going to a place. Some getting involved in things that are wicked and ungodly. And gone. Now ranked as vessels of dishonor by their own sin. Child of God, you're not above that. Don't look down your nose. That third vessel that sat in the middle, it was a vessel of mercy. Romans chapter 9 and verse 23 uses such beautiful language. It says this was a vessel, the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. The riches of his glory dwelled in the blessings in villages and the outlying areas. They would leave little vessels of water along the roadside, in conspicuous places, open places. So if a traveler would come by and perhaps he hadn't been able to get a drink, he didn't know where the wells were, he didn't have a thermos bottle with him. I don't think they ever had any of those in those days. But he could slake his thirst. You know, it'd be a wonderful thing to have a ministry where when people with heartaches and hurts could come by, and we don't put them down. We don't say you had it coming. You dirty, rotten, low, good rat. This ought to have happened to you. But we could be a vessel of mercy to give a thirsty soul some help on the road of life. Silently, with no fanfare, no look at me. Nobody knew who put those vessels of mercy along the road. Our book says that he might make known the riches of his glory. His glory on the vessels of mercy. The vessels of mercy do not pat themselves on the back. The vessels of mercy do not publish it in religious newspapers. The vessels of mercy don't go around and telling everybody. The vessels of mercy allow his glory to be manifest in the hearts and minds of those that were blessed. No matter what you do for God, I want to say this tonight, it counts.
That's right.
But I think the things we do in secret that nobody ever knows about. You let some individual, I want you to take this and take it to somebody, but don't tell them where it came from.
Amen.
Mark chapter 9 and verse 41 said, if you give a cup of water in the name of the Lord, you'll not lose your reward. Just a cup of water. The next, there's vessels of wrath mentioned there in Romans chapter 9 and verse number 22. Back to the potter's house we go for just a moment. Neatly arranged, the finished product, perfect in size and shape and usefulness. And there's another group that's there at the potter's house. They lay broken and cracked and in piles. They were fine. They looked good. They looked as good as the ones that were there for sale. But they couldn't take the fire. They couldn't take the heat. They couldn't stand it. and they went by the wayside. And so they were thrown in a refuse pile. And like someone said that was singing, maybe it was a testimony tonight, all of us have sorrows and difficulties and heartaches that befall our path. But why? Because Satan opposes us. You mark it down, the devil is not on your side. He's not out to help you get through life. God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the waters and sometimes through the flood, sometimes through the fire. But thank God, all through the blood. Some through great sorrow. But God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. It's immeasurable with me what the potter can do in the lives of people on his workbench. I want to labor for just a moment with the workman long there neath the hot mid-eastern sun in a little maybe tinted canopy of some kind. He works, he labors. This fiery burst, he works continually at the wheel. He supposed he'd enjoy another day. He made more vessels than he had ever made. It was the highest number that he'd ever been able to complete in a day. Not one of them had cracked in the kiln. It was a record. His last batch. Never happened before. He looks around, and there was some crack that could not stand the fire. He'd been so successful all day long, it was a record in his mind. And in frustration, he grabs up those broken vessels. He throws them on the ground, puts them in the pile. They're chips and cracked and broken vessels. And in his wrath, he wreaks havoc among the others that are there, these useless vessels, these tired, tirade, this terrible act. And several days pass. He's back to the workbench. And he looks over at that discard pile of broken and shattered, some maybe just a little bit scratched. And like our Heavenly Father, he just can't give them up. I like the thought, his arm is stretched out still. I like the phrase, his mercy endureth forever. He's endued with much suffering and the vessels of wrath. He's not happy with them. And our sin, I think, I don't know if discourages would be a good word. I don't know if it enrages us. I'd say it breaks his heart. And he's angry with the wicked every day, our book says very plainly. But thank God, in his outraged holiness, it is conquered by his loving forgiveness and his abundant mercy in our behalf. I read some time ago of a certain kind of cement that's made from the blood of a small insect which lives on the bodies of bulls, and which, when it's mixed with the powder of broken pottery, it cements the cracks back together in those vessels, let's say, of wrath. I do not compare the blood of an insect at all with the blood of Jesus Christ. But if the blood of an insect can fix a broken pot, I'd say to you tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse us from all sin. He can put anything back together. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb of God. There's not a child of God in this building tonight that hasn't felt the power of the blood of Jesus Christ as it washed our sins away. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Friend, listen. He can patch you up. I don't care how far you have fallen. He may have to put you back in the fire again. You may come out okay, or you may crack again, you may break again. You remember in the Bible, I think it was Peter in the New Testament. I think he rather piously asked the Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And I think in Peter's mind, that was quite a deal to forgive a guy for the same sin seven times. But Jesus said, 70 times seven. That's almost immeasurable. That's beyond the human mind have a hard time dealing with that. But listen, we have been forgiven. God, help us to be forgivers. Forgivers. Why has all that happened? The Bible said here, to make his power known. That people would know the grace of God, the power of God. We were talking, I think, yesterday. And talking about a guy, I love him, he's a friend of mine, and he loves the Baptist bread, and he calls preachers that are in there, some don't even know him, he'll call me and ask for a guy's phone number, and he'll call the guy, I blessed him, Don Case. Don Case had a horrible life. He grew up in a fine Christian home, one of the best in the state of Michigan as a young man, holy people, godly people. And down the road of life, he got way off track and got out in the world terribly. He's told me some things I wouldn't tell in this pulpit about him, horrible things. I mean, I can't even mention him. Wicked man. One day he was in his vehicle and heading to take another man's life. And God, it seemed like, broke the front axle of his car on a New Year's Day, and within some few weeks after that, he got right with God, he got straight with the Lord, and he's been faithful ever since, for probably the last 35 or 40 years, singing, he plays the accordion, he can play the piano, he sings the old hymns of the faith. I don't know about you, I'm only 76 years old, but I'm going to tell you some of those old hymns of the faith, they resonate down in the redeemed soul. I can sing them, I know the tunes, and I'm not a singer at all, but thank God for that old hymn book. The old songs that tell of God's amazing grace. This wonderful gift. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 4 talks about a marred vessel being made again. D.L. Moody said this, there is no limit to what God can do with a broken vessel if he gets all the pieces. You may have a life beached on the rocks of ruin and you've had difficulties and you've messed up and you've gone astray or you know somebody that has. I want to tell you tonight, the grace of God is abundantly ready to forgive and help. Oh, glory to God, you can be used again. He'll take you back. Really, you never got out of his hands. You just got out of his will. You say, I don't know. What about David? What about David? I mean, the things that he did. I mean, you know the story with all that problem he had with another man's wife. You know all that business. What about Samson? Same thing. He got messed up with women. Just tell you young men something. You be careful. You can get messed up with a woman. I said, you can get messed up with a woman. And it's not just the woman's fault. Takes two to tango, my dad always used to say. But Samson killed more in his death than he did in his life. What about Peter? You talk about, it's one of the most interesting things to me when you get to the book of Acts. Peter,
he is ripping those Jews for denying the Lord. And just a couple months before, he denied the Lord. And he knew him better than those people. But God brought him back. And he preached that day, and 3,000 were saved. What about John Mark? Well, I tell you, Paul, we're taking, Barnabas said, we're taking John Mark, my nephew, he's going with us. And they were upset. Two preachers got upset with one another and said, it's not going to happen. And down the road of life, Barnabas, he took John Mark off to Cyprus and started a church and did whatever he did, but you don't read about it in the Bible. Apostle Paul, down the road of life, he said, bring John Mark. He's profitable. He's profitable unto me. Don't ever let anybody tell you you can't get right with God. And God will use you again. In Isaiah 66:20, it says, the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. An honorable vessel. An honorable vessel is one that can be used and handled, and God could take it. I don't know about you, but I believe our heavenly potter can clean us up. Amen. He can scrape the barnacles off us. He can wash us. He can cleanse us. He can make us presentable again in the service of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but the way I read my Bible, we need a daily cleansing. From the defilement of this world. When that was written way back when, I guarantee you the world is a lot more filled with defilable things today than it ever was in Bible days. Vile days we live in. Jesus said to Peter there in John chapter 13, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are cleaned. A clean vessel. It takes a clean vessel to do the work of God. I would say, child of God, never pray with a dirty heart. Before you start your prayer life, confess your sins. Ask him to forgive us. He is faithful and just to forgive us. If you'll ask him, he'll forgive you. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, how you've acted. Ask for forgiveness and he'll give it. The problem with us Baptists, we don't want to ask for forgiveness. We don't want to admit we failed. We want to just live our lives the way we want to live our lives. And God, you're just going to have to put up with me because of the way I am. You're never going to be a faithful, fertile, I guess would be a better word, witness, unless you have a clean heart and a clean soul. You're never going to, I don't know how in the world you could ever read this book without it cleaning up your life. The importance of a clean vessel. I was trying to find an illustration for this thing because I tell more stories than I do preach, I guess. But we have a Mexican restaurant in our town, and I drive by a lot of times going to other restaurants to eat. And I look in the parking lot and I say to my wife, honey, look at that place. It's packed. There'd be 100 cars in that parking lot on a Friday night, on a Saturday night, and other nights of the week. I mean, that place is packed. She said, don't you remember we went there 10 years ago? No, I don't remember we went there 10. I don't remember we went there 10 days ago. But I got a bad memory. You'll get old. You'll find out what it's like. I said, why don't you want to go there? She said, 10 years ago we went there and my fork was dirty. What a thing, man. She sent it back, got a clean one. My fork was dirty. I said, honey, do you think every time we go there you're going to get a dirty fork? Well, I'm not taking a chance. That's not a very good illustration, but it's true. The importance of a clean vessel. What Elisha used when he poured water on the hands of Elijah. Never be of any service unless you're clean. Isaiah 52:7 said, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. We are now returning. I'm just about done. We're home from our visit, and we go to the potter and we say, I have a special friend that I'd like to get him something of yours as a gift. And he'd turn, and without hesitation, he'd reach up and grab a vessel all among all the rest of his wares, and he'd say, take this one. It's a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel. A certain vessel. This is my best. I'm not ashamed of it. I made it. I made it to sell. I made it for a special friend, apparently. And it will never put me to shame. It will always perform as it was selected to. It probably looks like all the rest. Maybe it's even a little less attractive, but it will stand the test of time, for it is a chosen vessel. If I was a young man aspiring to be a preacher, I would desire in my heart to become a chosen vessel, to be put in the hands of our God, to be used of Him. We quickly look now and we see a little insignificant servant of God, a guy by the name of Ananias. He's arguing with the Lord. He said, Lord, I've heard a lot about this guy, Saul of Tarsus. He ain't too good of a fella. He's done a lot of evil against the people of God. But the Lord interrupts him. He said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. He may not look good to the rest of the brethren, may not have looked good, obviously, to Ananias and others, but he was a chosen vessel of God. And God told him this. He said, he is to bear my name before Gentiles. That's us. And kings. A couple of the brethren testified, I think last night and tonight, they were Gentile dogs. That's what we are. To bear his name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And Paul fulfilled his task. He fulfilled his task probably better than 99.9% of the preachers in America, maybe even put together. His call was to the Gentiles. His duty was to speak to kings when he had occasion. But his burden, according to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, was Israel. Cared about his people. But that vessel performed the will of God in his life. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, he said, he hath chosen us in him. I want to be one that God's never ashamed of. I want to be one that would never disgrace his name. I want to be one that would stand the test of time. I want to be one who will stop the mouths of gainsayers, and one who will fight to win the prize, though we sail through bloody seas. Listen tonight. If you're saved, you are to some extent a chosen vessel. May you determine in your own heart to be as clean as you possibly can for Him. I like this little phrase and I'm done. Whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Here's these vessels. And God has something to pour out in your life and in my life. And may we just get thirsty. Well, you know, preacher, I've arrived at this position. And everybody pats me on the back, tells me how wonderful I am. You friend, if you buy all that stuff, I got some property down in a swamp in Florida I'd like to sell you. Don't believe that kind of stuff. Amen. You know what you are. You look in the mirror every day, and when you get married, your wife will tell you ain't all that hot too. God help us as a chosen vessel to be everything we possibly can be for Him and for His glory and for the salvation of souls.
and the edifying of the saints, being a blessing to people and a help to people. Nobody has to have the preacher get up and say, well, there is somebody named Jones here, isn't there? Maybe I mentioned Jones the other day. He didn't even come back, I guess. You don't have to have, is there a McGillicuddy here? There's no McGillicuddies here, I tell that. Well, Brother McGillicuddy, he did this and he did that. We don't have to have that. Our rewards are not here. They're in heaven. And that's where it's going to matter. They're going to glisten like a thousand stars. Say, well, I guess when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a trophy shelf. No, you're not. You're going to throw it all at the feet of Jesus. We'll cast our crowns at his feet. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I imagine a lot of stuff. We're going to all receive a crown to some extent. And he may put it on our head. I don't think we'll parade around with it. I don't think we'll wear it long. We'll take it off and look at it. And I'm thankful, God, for this wonderful thing, but cast it at the feet of Jesus. For he's the one that makes everything we do possible.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this evening. From my perspective, we've been to church tonight. We've had wonderful songs sung. We've had shouting, praising you. You are worthy of all of our praise for what you have done for us. The gift of God, the great gift of God, the great things that you've done in our behalf were yours. We belong to you. We've been bought with a price, a wonderful price, with the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray you'd help us, Lord. Help us to be vessels of honor. Help us to be vessels alongside the road of life, to be a help and a blessing to people. Help us to have the sweet water of the Word of God pour out to be a help and a blessing to people. For Jesus' sake. I don't know if you're saved here tonight or not. If you're not, you probably have no idea what I talked about this evening. Almost be like words in another language. But as children of God, we've been reminded initially that we've been chosen. You just think about the billions of people on this planet right now who have never heard one sentence of the Word of God. They've never heard a song of Zion. They've never had the privilege of sitting in a church and someone telling them about Christ and what Jesus can do in a person's life. And here we are. We are glad recipients tonight of the grace of God and the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. May we thank him tonight. May we express our appreciation. May we rejoice in his grace. May we ever once in a while say hallelujah and praise the Lord. May we find ourselves on our knees occasionally worshiping you and thanking you and praising you for what you have done. Let's quietly stand to our feet.